Has in store for us. Amen. I'd like to turn to page 182. Same book. Amen. Such a wonderful thought. What will be when we be there? Amen. Lay this old body down. I have heard of a land on the far. Forward to. Page 294. Amen. Too much to gain to lose, saints. Amen. Too many miles behind me.
Somewhere up ahead.
True that is. Came too far to look back now.
Yes.
Amen. That little course. Little course was on my heart. I looked it up right before we got here. I've come too far to look back.
Yes.
My feet have walked through the valley.
Yes.
I've climbed mountains, crossed rivers.
Yes.
Desert places I've known. But I'm nearing the home shore.
Oh, yes.
The redeemed are rejoicing. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Heaven's angels are singing. I've come too far to look back.
Yes.
Amen. Can we sing that? I've come too far to look back. My feet have walked through the valley. I've climbed mountains, crossed rivers, desert places I've song. Look around, there's no happiness. There's no reason for living, people think. Life will give you broken dream, filled with heartaches and fear. Turn around and don't look back again. Face the new day before you. Place your heartache in Jesus' hand. He will mend broken dreams. I've come too far to look back again. There is nothing behind me. All the treasures I used to love, hallelujah, I've faded from view. There's a new day ahead of for me. Oh, my heartache is over, for I left it at Calvary, where my new life begins. Hallelujah. I've come too far to look back. My feet have walked through the valley. I've climbed mountains, crossed rivers, desert places I've known, but I'm nearing the home shore. The redeemed are rejoicing. Heaven's angels are singing. Far to look back. Amen. They're over the banister. Turn us on, saints. Don't give up. Keep fighting. It's worth it. Amen. I can just hear it. Amen. I can see it. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It's worth it all. Amen. Brother Kevin Gensel, would you take up the offering? Brother Amos? Amen. Hallelujah. A lot to look forward to, saints.
Amen.
Don't quit now. Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful for this opportunity you've granted to us once more.
Yes.
We are so appreciative. Never want to take one opportunity for granted.
Yeah.
Thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit with us this evening, Lord.
Yes.
We love and appreciate you, Lord. As your word comes forth this evening, Lord, we pray fall upon that good ground in our hearts, Lord. May we climb higher in you this night.
Yes.
Yes.
Lord, once more we ask that you'll bless this offering. Let it be used for the building of your kingdom. We ask this in your precious holy name, Lord
Thank
Jesus
you,
Christ.
Amen. Shut in with God.
Amen.
Shut in with God in a secret place. There in the Spirit, beholding His face. Your desire to be shut in with him. Amen. Every step he takes, I take. Amen. If anyone got a need upon her heart, unspoken or spoken, amen. Just keep it on your hearts. Just ask Brother DeLong if you take the request. Amen.
Let's bow our heads.
Yes.
Precious Lord Jesus, again, we appreciate this opportunity together here, Lord. We don't know how many more times we'll be able to, Father, but we appreciate every time that we do. And we ask, Lord, again tonight for the, Lord, the needs of the people. Only you know every heart, every life, every thought, every desire. You know all about it. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would just, by, Lord, your precious Holy Spirit, place that faith in our hearts to accept these great promises you've given us in this hour. That, Lord, we would stagger not through unbelief, but be strong in faith, knowing, Lord, you're more than able to perform that which you promised. And, Father, we ask that you would bless these people, Lord, and meet every need in their life. And, Lord, may we be able to watch and see what you do, Lord, and then testify and glorify what you've done for our lives and in our lives, Lord. And, Lord Jesus, we just appreciate so very much for this opportunity to have to give our needs back to you. And Father, again, we pray for our brother as he brings forth the word tonight. Make it easy for him, Lord. And again, Father, open our hearts. And may everything be done pleasing in your sight, dear Jesus. And just have the preeminence now, the remainder of the service, as we will again give you the glory and the praise and honor for it all. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. You may be seated. Anyone have a song? A group? Individual? Amen. If you do, you raise your hand. I'm not going to beg you. Amen. Let's all stand, if you will, and ask our brother to come. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. As our brother comes. I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. I know your arm is not too short, and you can reach me too. And as I pray and press my way into your kingdom true, I'll grow to be more like you as I'm reaching out to you. And I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out. Too short, true. I'll grow to be more like you just by reaching out to you. Amen. Is that your desire? Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Lord, we truly are so grateful for another opportunity to come. And Lord, we're just so thankful for the draw that we feel in our hearts and the desire, Lord, that's pulling. And Lord, we just pray that you'll take these few words, Lord, and may it encourage us, may it strengthen us. Lord, cause us to press a little bit harder. Lord, to keep on. Our goal's almost in sight, Lord. The end is almost here. And Lord, may we push with all that's in us for this last mile of the journey. And Lord, that through it all you would receive the glory and the honor from our lives. And Lord, that we would truly be a people that would be a representation of you in this last age. And Lord, we ask your blessings upon your word this night, that you would quicken it to our hearts, Lord. Just bless it, we pray, and we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor for it all. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Amen. Amen. While you're standing, if you would, let's just turn our Bibles over to John, St. John, the 10th chapter. Amen. Just a little thought here on my heart. I've just been all week thinking about these things and then listening to our brother bring the messages he brought Sunday, and just a lot of good things in there. Amen. Here in John, the 10th chapter, and let's start there about that 37th verse. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. May the Lord bless Remy's word, and you may be seated. Just a very simple thought. But just been thinking about that here lately a little bit, of the assurance that he had that if you don't believe what I've got to say, you believe the works that I'm doing because they're bearing witness of me. And what a day and age we're living in when Christ said he would have a bride conformed to his image, and how he predestinated a people to be here for that, and how by God's grace we should be each one seeing ourselves shaping up into that. But as we see the nearing and the time of drawing nigh, and as we look at ourselves, we've each one got to stop and take consideration and truly be honest with ourselves and ask our own selves, can I see a change in me greater today than I had yesterday or last week? And you know, Enoch had this testimony before his translation that he pleased God. And each one of us, as we stand here and we hear this precious word, and Jesus told us it would conform us to his image. He predestinated, he justified, he glorified us. That all of this would fall right into place. And as we walk through this life, we look around us and we see many people that go to church and many people gather into buildings. Many people are following a prophet. Many people have heard the same word. They're probably hearing the same things that I'm going to read tonight. Somewhere, somebody else is probably reading the same thing. But as individuals before God, we've got to make sure that our lives is that true example. And I want to be able to look at my life, and you've got to look at your life. And we've got to truly be able to answer that same question to myself and to yourself with the Word of God laying before us and judging ourselves by the Word. And know that that life that's bearing forth through me is backed up 100% in these Scriptures. And that my life is producing the way I react and my thoughts and the way I travel through life and all that I do is Jesus Christ seen in me. Jesus had that assurance that the Father was present and is visible through the works that he was doing. And his bride is just supposed to be a reflection, an image of him and his character, and how it should be bubbling up through all each and every one of us in the message. We would see Jesus. This was preached July 27, 1962. Brother Branham was speaking about that just briefly around paragraph 32 here. He says, he was an ordinary man. He called himself God. They said, when you make yourself equal with God, we know you're mad or crazy.
and you're a Samaritan, you've got a devil. So, but Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they that testify of me, and they bear witness of me. Testify is to bear a witness. When you go to a trial to be a witness, you're testifying for somebody, see? And Jesus said, the scriptures are they that bear record of me. And then he was God's word expressed in human flesh, see? God's promise made flesh to express itself what Christ was. The word of God expressed in human form. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he said, if I do not the works of my Father, then believe me not. But though you don't believe me, believe the works. See, that was God expressing himself through flesh. He was God made flesh, the word living. And that's the reason, Christians, I think so real tonight that we should live the right kind of life. Because you see, there's many people that won't take the time to read the Bible, but they'll read you. See, you're a written epistle of God. A real, true, born-again Christian is the word expressed again because you're written epistles of God, read of all men. And as he said that about a testimony and how when you go to trial, you call a witness. And if we were put on trial tonight as being Christians, and if they was to call many people that know each one of us at different times in our life and where we stand, would they have enough evidence to convict you and I of truly being a Christian? Would they be able to gather enough evidence to say, yep, he's a Christian? Or no, he claims to be a Christian, but he's really not. You know, we see many people go through life and we put out claims. And we've all been in the message churches and denominational churches. We've all came up through many churches. And we've all seen people that had claims and people that said they were this and people that said they were that. And it amounted to nothing. But we're looking for a people that's got a true reality in our hearts and in our lives. Something that's more than just what we've got to say. But it's something that's bearing forth a reality that the people can see and take notice. They took notice of James and John and Peter, that they had been with Jesus. It was evident there was something there. And you stop to think about that. When Jesus was here on the earth, God was expressing through his life. And the religious people of the day didn't want nothing to do with it. They called him a fanatic. They wanted to push him aside. But the people that, those little sinners here and this one over here and that one over there, there was something about him that was drawing them like a magnet. There was something, a sweetness there. There was a peace there. And they wanted to be as close to him. His life was bearing forth something that the others knew they didn't have. The religious people of that day were honestly jealous of what God was doing through his life. And how they could see that reality that he had that they didn't. And though they claimed to know everything. Let's turn over here to Matthew, the 7th chapter, if you would. I'm beginning here at the 15th verse. Matthew 7 and 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth good fruit is not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And you know, we've heard many, God sent a prophet in this age and brought a message. And we've heard many people step up and proclaim, he didn't mean that. And God's word don't mean that. And you don't have to do that. That's just plain out in the open. And we see that fruit and know that can't be. Because he said that Holy Spirit would punctuate every word of God with an amen. And we see that. That's an obvious fruit. But now, what about all of those of us that go to church every service? And we claim to believe every word. And we're following it. But is our life bearing the fruit that shows that we're a true believer down on the inside? And it's got to come down to that every word. If I'm a wife, I've got to bear the fruit that I'm under submission to my husband. If I'm a husband, then it's got to show that I'm a ruler of my home and I'm ruling it with love and as God would do it. If I'm a young person, that I'm respectful and honoring my parents. Each word, that's just three little different categories. But look at all the word that's in here. Be ye holy as I am holy. Think of all the word that's laying here that's got to be not just spoke about or put out on our lips, but it's got to be lived. Brotherly kindness, long-suffering, peace, joy, all of the fruits of the Spirit that has got to be on display, not just talked about, but it's there where people can see it expressed, they can feel it, and they can draw from it. Yeah. It's got to be a reality. There's more to this than just following a message, more than just saying I'm a Christian. People have done it for years, but God said He would have a bride that would not fall, and she would be without spot or blemish. And by God's grace, I see into God's word as I'm reading these things to you, and it's touching my heart and drawing on my heart. But we see the reality that by God's grace, I know I've been called to that. And you've got to see with the reality that that's what you've been called to. And that's why we've got to come to that, that every day that we live, our lives is bearing forth our testimony. What are we? What we are here is what will be there. Everything that I'm doing now, would it be pleasing over there? Would I be proud to have what's taking place in my life here happen over there? And that goes for each and every one of us. We've each one got to weigh our lives into God's precious word and take the seriousness of it and say, Lord, where am I? And it's a good thing just to go to church. It's wonderful to come in every service and pay all of our tithes and offering and do all of these things. But God is looking for a special people. A people that will live His life 100%. They're not going to live it. They're going to relax into His care and let Him live it through them. As we go on down here, he says, and then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which buildeth his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And just think of that. If our foundation is truly into this precious word, if we're doing what He told us to, let the storms assail. Let the winds howl and the devil stir up all he wants to stir up. But He'll hold you through it all if you're doing His will. And he said, but everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house and it fell and great was the fall of it. Amen. And you know, we see the mighty signs. Jesus said, these works that I do shall ye do also, and greater than these. And many people get to looking today for great signs and wonders, and they preaching with fire and running across the platforms, and it's just carrying on and just going, oh, look at the fire over there, and so got healed, and this happened, and that happened. But didn't he say in that verse, depart from me? I've prophesied in your name, done all these great things, but what's he saying? He's looking for somebody that's doing this, keeping my sayings, doing my will. And what's his will? His word. And this was the age that is not just part of it, but all of it has to be fulfilled in our lives. The entire word's got to be made real and made alive. And we can't be the person I was yesterday. Every day has got to be overcoming. So many people have got satisfied that, oh, we're going to make mistakes. That's just who I am. God is greater than any flesh, carnal senses. He's greater than any personality I might have been born with. He's greater than any way maybe I was raised a certain way, so that's why I think like this. God's word will change everything and bring me subject to His precious word and make it line up 100%. And that's what we've got to see. We just can't go on continuing to say, I believe this message, I'm following this message, I believe everything, but my life is still not a reflection of Jesus Christ. It's still not bearing forth the fruits that I have peace, that I have joy, that I am long-suffering, that I have brotherly kindness. All of these things that's got to be in us and abound that make us fruitful. It's got to be on display, living out so all can see. Not something I said with my mouth, but my life has got to be a written epistle, a testimony that's going forth. This is in the Message Identification. Let me read this to you. Brother Bram, I'm going to read, start here on page 18 just to read. I'm going to read what he said. It's about a page and a half long. But he said here, paragraph 116, and this was preached January 23rd, 1963. We want to make this Bible our looking glass and let ourselves be molded by his character. Having his character, his mind, letting the mind that was in Christ be in us. His mind was always, what was his mind to do? The mind that was in Christ always to stay with the Father's word. No matter what looked glossy, what looked this way, it didn't make any difference to him. The Father's word is what counted. Everywhere, when he met the devil, he never even used his power to defeat him. He used the word because that was him. Did you ever think he never wrote a book when he was on earth? As far as we know, he never wrote but one time, and that was in the sand, and they erased it out. Probably afterwards. Why? Didn't he write a word? Because he was the word. See, he lived the word. We don't need so many books when you become a written epistle of God, see? That's what God wants you to be, images of him. You know, in the heathen world, how the heathens put up an idol and they prostrate themselves before that idol and work themselves into such emotion till they believe that they can hear that idol speak back to them. It's a mental affair. But how vice versa from God's truth? God wants you. He don't want an idol. You are the living image of God. And you prostrate yourself before God and he fills you with himself. And you express him as a looking glass, his church. And just think of that. If you go look in a mirror tonight and you see a perfect reflection of yourself, a perfect reflection, it's the exact image that you're looking at in that mirror. And when we look into this mirror, we've got to see the exact image looking back at us. I've got to see that same life portraying in me. I've got to see the reality of it taking me under my body under subjection and bringing me in compliance with that precious word. He said, what a difference we, he says, and he fills you with himself and you express him as a looking glass, his church. What a difference we've got. We want to be like Presbyterian Methodists and get just as high. Everything has to be polished and classy. And we're getting just about as bad. We've got getting off the beaten path. Come back, church. I'm zealous of you because of the coming of the Lord is at hand. Let him be your expressed image, expressing himself in you because he was always doing exactly what the word of God. That's what the prophets did, every one. The word of the Lord came to the prophets, and that's how they know they were. Moses, the word of the Lord came to Moses, and the word of the Lord came to Noah, and the word of the Lord came to Daniel, and the word of the Lord expressed itself to the Hebrew children. What was it? When men of any age took God's word, then God expressed that word to them. And Noah was an image and a sign of God's oncoming judgment, and he expressed the word, and by staying with the word, the same word he expressed, condemned the world and saved his own house. And Daniel had purposed in his heart he wasn't going to defile himself with the world. And what did it do? It saved his life. The Hebrew children the same way. And every person that ever served God become an image of God was God expressing his own word through them. Not their own word, not their own idea, not their own creed. But God was expressing his word back through them. And when God expresses his word back through you, it'll line up from Genesis to Revelations. And all of it will flow into continuity right into and bring it to pass. You don't have to worry about it changing, as our pastor was talking about God not changing Sunday. You don't have to worry about God changing his mind. He put it down the way he meant it to be. And he said what he meant and he interprets his own word. And by God's grace, I'm here as a predestinated seed to be a fulfillment of that interpreted word back to this age. He is interpreting his own word through my life, through your life, that he could have the preeminence of a people. And when we surrender ourselves to him wholly and let him have that preeminence, he will do the work through us, saints. Yes. Every person that ever served God became an image of God and was God expressing his own word through them. Because the Hebrew children said, our God is able to deliver us. They had no revelation of it, no more than that. But said, however, we will not bow down to your image. What was it? They was expressing their faith in the word of God. And God expressed himself back and reflected. He was the fourth man that they seen in that mirror in there. God expressing himself through his living images. Oh my. And tonight I am one of those living images. You are one of those living images. If God has called you and placed you here and drawn you to this, we are the living images of this day that he's going to express through. And that don't mean that we may go out here and have great signs and wonders. We may never lay hands on anybody. We may not be able, that may not be our portion. But our portion is to hold the word that we have for ourselves and what God has laid down, that we would follow in his footsteps and do exactly what is pleasing to him. Amen. That we would follow him with a true heart. And our every word would be living. And as our brother was bringing out Sunday about praying every hour, and how when we look at that and you stop and you think, And measure up against that word. Just measure yourself up there and hold ourselves up there. Lord, do I pray every hour? And each one of us have to sit here and honestly answer that question in our own heart. Can I say, Lord, I pray every hour? You know, those are the words that God didn't just speak for no reason. He did leave them here. But if we let somebody dull our senses to the reality of what God's word truly means, have we accepted the idea that, oh, I'm not going to be quite like that. He didn't quite mean every hour, but that's just one little word. But do we place those things off of ourselves, and therefore it gives us a loophole that we don't have to expect to see God's life live through us? It gives us that place where, oh, I'm okay. I'm not doing that, but it'll be okay. No, God meant just what he said. We've got to see every word living and on display in our hearts and in our lives. We've got to see, you know, I think of James where he talked about, if any man think himself to be righteous and he can't bridle with his own tongue, he's deceived himself. Think of that little word. How little it seems, but if I can't control my own tongue and what I'm lashing out and hurting somebody or saying something, look at how I've deceived my own self. And look at the words that God's left that's just so simple. He's a God of simplicity. But are we taking him as a God of simplicity and applying it as such? Or do we let things we've heard in the past or something somebody else had to say about it sway our decision? I don't have to quite be like that. You know, we don't have a choice. As husbands, we don't have a choice but to rule our home. That's God's word. That's what he said. As a wife, I don't have a choice but to be under subjection to my husband. I don't have a choice but to raise my children in the admonition of the Lord in the way he wants them to be raised. We don't have a choice about it. That's God's word. And if I want to line up and be able to say that if you can't believe what I say, believe the works that I do, then I've got to see that living out through me, every word of it. Hey, man, I'm not of this world. We're just passing through. But our lives are showing either we're earthbound or are we truly looking for a city. Are we traveling through, not letting nothing snag us or get a hold of us and try to weigh us down, but we're moving forward. And that's what the Holy Spirit has been pressing, as you can look back through the messages over the last few weeks and months. Look how God is just getting us ready, driving it home. And amen, God knows exactly what we need and when we need it, and he's watching over us. Amen. He says, now let us look in God's mirror, Lord, and identify our present character. Now, I might pinch you just a little bit, but I won't take much more time. Let me drop down. He says, paragraph 130, he said, let's see if we can identify ourselves and get this close, what I'm saying now. Our present character. I'm going to go real slow, and I want it to soak in real deep now before we close. If you lived in the days of Noah, just think what you are. Be honest with yourself, because if you won't be honest with yourself, you can't be honest with God. If you lived in the days of Noah and was in your present character, what group would you be identified with? Now think of it. When here is an old fanatic standing up there on the hill that's been proven over and over for 120 years that he's out of his mind because he absolutely predicting that there's water coming down from up there. And all their scientific instruments prove that it wasn't there because it didn't jive with their scientific things. How could Almighty God ever do something that was against their own reasonings? And the man was talked about, and he was the laughingstock at the time. Now, I wonder, just ask, what group would you have been identified with? What? The popular opinion of the day. And you say, I belong to church. That's not what I'm talking about. They had plenty of church groups in that day, probably more than they got now. But there was somebody with a message from God. That's right. And it was very unpopular. This group, very unpopular because he was considered a fanatic. Would you be ready to identify yourself with that fanatic group? The only way that you would ever do it would for it to personally be revealed to you. And did you know that's the only way God ever built his church? And it don't matter how much we claim to know about this. If God doesn't reveal every word to us, it'll never be a living manifestation in my life and in your life. And you know, when you look back all through time, you can see it all the way back at Cain and Abel. The word was there. Cain was given an opportunity. He heard the same word Abel heard, and he didn't have no desire to conform to it. And this word's laying here today the same way. And it comes forth. Do we have a desire to truly conform to it? Or in my mind, when I hear things that steps on my toes or words I just kind of slightly disagree with, I just push that off and I don't have to go there. That's not for me. That word doesn't apply to me. How many people, saints, as time went on and we see it more and more each day. And I was talking with a gentleman this week, and he's of a denomination, some denomination I'd never heard of. And he's But he's a denomination because they couldn't agree with the Methodists and they didn't agree with the Baptists and they couldn't agree with the Pentecostals, so they formed their own group. And now they're over there. And that's what's happening in this message. This brother don't agree with that brother. And this brother over here. When the word is laying here, clear-cut decision. It's not, all you got to do is take it the way God said it. And present it just the way God wanted it brought. God didn't need us to mess with it once he brought it. He just needed us to rehearse it and to bring it back. And he placed fivefold ministry here that could go in here and grab a quote and a quote and make sure that the picture was there for us to see. And to make sure that it was rehearsed time and time again. Maybe we might need to hear it 7 times before it finally grabs a hold of us. But God placed men on this earth to make sure that we were hearing that word over and over and over again until God knows the right time and the place that it would drop into your heart and present the work that needed to be done in your heart and my heart. God's watching over us, and he is in control. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he don't have to second guess himself. He knows exactly what he's doing. And oh my, he is a God of precision. It works right every time. Amen. But are we a people that's willing to change? You know, we can look back and I'll just be honest. You can look back where we come from and they're stuck in a rut. They never got over it. They were content. They reached a spot. They thought they had it all and they stopped. And from there, they only went backwards. And that same thing will happen to any person that doesn't continue to follow Jesus Christ daily. There's no standing still. You're either moving forward or sliding backwards. And that's as we come in here and gather under the voice and sit here and listen to God's precious word as it comes forth. And we're here with our hearts open saying, Lord, feed me. To go out those doors the same person, something is not right because I can't leave. I'm either farther away or closer to God, one of the two. And each time we come in, that's the attitude we've got to come with is, Lord, I've got to leave here one rung higher and closer to you. But we, each one, have got to be able to look back and look at our lives. It's an overcoming stage. You take an apple tree out there. Every day you can see more growth. As in the spring, the buds come on. And then the little apple begins to form. And as each day goes by, you see more growth and more growth and more growth. Until finally in the fall, you've got a great big juicy apple hanging on there. And then you watch the collars begin to change on it as it gets ready to be ripe and picked. And oh my, it's the same way with our life. We're coming to the closing of time, right down to the harvest. And we see Satan in his height as our brother was bringing all the gadgets and the things of this side that just keep growing and how fast and rapidly it's climbing. But how much faster we're moving to that towards the appearing of the Lord. And is my life reflecting that I'm ready to be caught away in the twinkling of an eye? Now I got to have that testimony. The assurance has got to be in my life today that I know that I'm matching that word. And if he tarries till tomorrow, I'm sure he'll show me something else that might need to be overcome and I'll overcome it. But I've got to see it happening every day behind me, that overcoming is taking place in our life. Amen. Let's turn over here to James, if you would. Amen. Just a little thought. Amen. Pray that God will continue to stir our hearts. It's no time to be lax. Maybe it doesn't look like there's a giant revival on through the land, but the revival should be burning in that heart of that little bride. When we see all that's happening around us and we see the times and the places and it's shaking up, and what a determination it ought to put into our hearts to make sure that every word is living. And God will do, he will take care of each and every one that's in his hand. He may use your life to grab the next one or this one over here, whatever it takes, but they got to see something real, saints. They got to see a reality in our hearts and in our lives. It's not just something, oh, they're just another set of churchgoers. But it's got to be the living word manifested. That's what's going to attract someone's attention. Amen. Here in James, the 2nd chapter, and let's just start there at the 14th verse. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. And yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believes and trembles. But wilt thou know, vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and the works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And when he was called the friend of God. You see then how that thy works by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without works is dead also. And I want you to think about that, how their faith was made evident by what they done. And you think of Noah, 120 years building on a boat. But what if he'd have said it's going to rain and God had told him to build a boat, but he never went up there and worked on the boat? What kind of, nobody would have started believing his report then for sure. And they didn't believe him anyway because they thought he was crazy because it just went on and on and on. But Noah's faith was putting into action and his body was bearing forth the works that he believed God. At that time that he was placed, his works was bearing forth and his natural body that he was doing exactly what God told him to do, bringing it to pass, saints. And oh my, how this precious word, as we can see it day by day, as it's taking us over and it's building in our hearts and it's drawing us closer to him. But we've got to see that assurance in our hearts. And if we're not seeing that overcoming, or if I sit here and know that I'm not born again and I need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then it's time to take God at his word and to reach out and get a hold of him and take him at his word exactly what he said to do. Follow the instructions of the Lord and hold it dear to your heart. Lord, you told me if I would do it this way, if I would repent and be baptized, and if with a godly sorrow and turn from my past things, Lord, you would fill me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, if we would just take God at his word and hold him and hold it dear to us. But you know what? We don't really believe he'll do it. That's why we won't. And that's why we need to cry out, Lord, show me, give me the faith that I need to grab a hold of that piece and to hang on to that, Lord, that there's a reality to this. As he said in, who is this Melchizedek? When you receive this, the Spirit of the Lord, it'll throw your body under subjection to that word. We don't believe it, or we would hold more to that. But we like to push that aside. Well, I don't think it's quickly turned. It won't quickly turn. We want to push back on that a little bit. But it will quickly turn to it. When God's word says do this, you'll see your body come quickly to it. It's a reality to us if the Spirit of God dwells in us. Amen. So it will quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. This is in Works as Faith Expressed, paragraph 156. Noah's works expressed to man what his faith was in God's promise. And God, let me drop down. And they said, this man is actually crazy because he says it's going to bring water out of the heavens and there's no water up there. But you see, Noah didn't think about that. His works was expressing to the people what his faith was and what God said would take place. And that's the reason the genuine Christian separates himself from everything but the Word of God. No matter what people think, what anybody else says, he's separated because he isn't just saying that. If he is, it won't be long till his works will be made known. He'll fall back, slip this way, join this one time or this, and start, he'll show what he is. But if he is genuine, if the Word of God is bedded into him, then it's going to bring forth of its kind, and you'll see that man preparing for that great hour the same way Noah did. Amen. And I pray that's what God sees in you and I. And through that, us preparing, the same works will go back from our lives out to everyone else that they can truly see. There is a difference in my life. I'm not the person I used to be. Yes, I still have overcoming to do, overcome daily by the Spirit's sword. But by God's grace, we've got to keep pressing. We can't be satisfied with where we're sitting. We can't be satisfied with how far I've come or how good I've done and pat myself on the back that, oh, I've seen a lot of things. But God has still got a higher height for us that we've got to reach or we wouldn't still be here. He's got a work for us here somewhere to do. Each one of us got a higher plane. My plane may be different than yours. Yours is different than mine. But God is calling to each and every one of us. Son, come up a little bit higher. It's draw closer to me and let me have the full preeminence of your life. And oh my, what he can do. If he could just get one person in the palm of his hand, oh, what he could do. Oh my, Saints, may we press like we've never run before and do all we can to take God at his word. And if we're slacking on, something we see, let God's word search us. Yes, we're going to have correction. We're going to come in and the word of God's going to chasten us. It's going to be sharp. It's just like the beating of the gold. Brother Branham showed us that many times. They had to beat that gold till they saw the reflection in it. And that's what Jesus Christ wants to see, is the reflection completely of himself in that little bride. Oh my, and then he's going to come again. Amen. And by God's grace, I believe he's coming for me. Amen. And that's the desire and the pulsation has got to be in each of our hearts. Says, Lord, I see higher heights that I need to climb. I see the word of God comes. And even when you begin to study and to read and you think of things and you look at it and you're like, oh, how great is our God. How great is his word. And how bright that light is that shines down. And when you open up your heart to him and just, what about this, Lord? What about the way this? And what about that? And then you let God's light shine upon it and see where we stand. But oh my, we can be like a lot of other people. We can just go on, believe we're waiting on a rapture. We're just waiting. I'm just waiting. Yes, I'm waiting. But I was also climbing while I'm waiting. He said to press, not to give up. He didn't say to relax. He didn't say to lay down. But he said to press. Amen. And by God's grace, we're going to press for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. Pray you could take a little something from it. Amen. To stir your heart. Amen. You know, we're growing and climbing. It stirred my heart. I was reading those things and thinking, and even, the message our pastor brought Sunday, when you stop and you look and weigh what we've got and how the word has come. And when you really stop and let the Holy Spirit weigh things, it shows you, it makes everything look a whole lot different. And may we truly just let God lead us and guide us and say, Lord, show me. Don't let me be stubborn. Don't let me be high and lifted up. But Lord, let me be humble and show me, Lord, what you got for me. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus again. I'm reaching out to you, Lord, as our brother comes. I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. I know your arm is not too short, and you can reach me too. And as I pray and press my way into your kingdom true, I'll grow to be more like you just by reaching out to you. And I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord.
I'm reaching out to you. I know your arm is not too short, and you can reach me too. And as I pray and press my way into your kingdom too,
trust us to desire every one of our hearts to be reaching out constantly, not stopping, constantly. And that's what's just been burning on my heart. And you know, he's talking about Sunday. You know, it just seems to just be so strong in my heart, because you can look back and, friends, see back in history and see the men of God, strong men, that was strong in faith. Their life wasn't all tangled up with the affairs of this life. And Satan has built a civilization that will just totally strangle and choke you to death if you let it. And yes, like I said, it's nice to have some of these things. And they're a blessing and different things. But it can also be a terrible curse to us. And very distractive and destructive. So I trust that we will, by the Holy Spirit, be able to cipher through all this junk. Oh my. And keep pressing. You know, and as Brother Timothy mentioned about the prayer again, you know, and don't let Satan take and twist something out of your mind with that. No. But even as Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing.
Even our Lord Jesus said in the Luke, the 18th chapter, I believe it was first verse, men ought to always pray, you know? And how we should be a people that just want to talk to the Lord all the time. You can talk to the Lord while you're working. Absolutely. You can talk to the Lord while you're driving. Yes. You know, if you're really in love with somebody, don't you want to talk to him? You know, you just love him and you want to surrender to him and you want him to take everything about you that you are and just have his way. Amen. I just believe we're really getting close to the appearing of the Lord. And I know, as I said, things can happen quickly. And I trust that we'll be ready and longing for and loving the appearing of the Lord. So constantly pray, saints, and talk to the Lord. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these precious words of understanding and wisdom and encouragement and strength. Lord, we just want to be everything, Lord, that word says for us to be. And Lord, we can't let anybody talk it out of us or distract us with it, Lord. We can't let somebody come along and twist it just a little here and a little bit there. But Lord, as you said through that prophet, Lord, precious brother Paul, and Lord, how he said, if any man, even an angel, come and preach anything than what I've already brought, let him be accursed. Amen. And he wanted to make sure, and he repeats himself again. And Lord, how we should be so careful to not let anything, Lord, any person, anybody, Lord, come along and twist something or take and bring it to where it's not as much value to it. But Lord Jesus, by the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts, may we press, Lord, to the mark of the prize and the high calling and push everything aside that would be a distraction, knowing, Lord, that Satan's trying all he can do. And there's cares of life that you even spoke of yourself and said would choke many people out. But Lord, let us be a people above all that. And Lord, we know we have to have these things in life. And we need jobs, we need families, or we have to have families at times, or whatever you see in our life. And we must have a roof over our head and clothes to wear. But Lord, we can't let anything of this life distract us. Our main purpose, our greatest love in this life is you, Lord. So help us to be that people now. And bless us as we leave and part from this little building. I ask, Lord, again, a special little blessing that you watch over us, keep us safe. As I was thinking about it again today, Lord, just seeing people's driving, and I thought, Lord, we can only live by your grace and mercy. Knowing what's out on these roads, these highways, Lord, of people with their drug addictions and the alcohol that's in their bodies and just even typical medication doctors give them. Lord, their minds are so tore up and just so fuzzed up and messed up. But Lord, we ask for your protection and guidance. And Lord, lead us by your Holy Spirit. And we ask again that you'd bring us back the next appointed time if you should tarry. Again, to give you the glory and praise and let you have your way. In your wonderful name we ask. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Don't you just love him. Amen. Amen. Go and be encouraged to press on. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.